Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. Today's Daf is Chulin Lametes. We begin three lines from the top. Itma, we have learned. Speaking about the word Itma, it reminds me of a story. Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was a child, young little boy, they sent him to the learning group in the local shul. Of course, they had no formal organized schools at that time. It was the Malamed and the shul, and they had different groups, and they sent him up to the higher group, of course, because he had outgrown his age group in terms of learning. He was a genius already then, and he joined the Gemara group of boys quite older than him. He was maybe five, and they were already seven. Now, he had learned a lot of Chumash, and his father taught him Tanakh. He was an expert in Tanakh and etc., but Gemara was new to him. He comes into the class the first day, and the Rebbe starts the Gemara with this very word, Itmar. And he calls out to the boys, who knows what this word means? So little Moshe Feinstein is all excited, picks up his hand, says, I know. Okay, what is it? Says the Rebbe. Isamar, one of Aaron HaKohen's sons, Isamar. And the whole group burst out laughing. And he was quite embarrassed. And the Rebbe turns to the boys and says, no need to laugh. You know, the reason why he's assuming it's Isamar is because it's only because of his expertise and his vast knowledge in Tanakh. He assumed it's Isamar from the Chumash. So it's no reason to laugh and to make fun. In any case, Ramesh related the story later on in his older years. He says, that story stuck. That incident really made an impression on me to the point that he undertook two things. First of all, going forward, if he ever hears anybody saying anything, which doesn't make that much, isn't necessarily so logically substantiated, you don't negate, you don't put down, you don't embarrass. You try to make the best of it. You try to still, take it seriously, respect the person, and get whatever you could out of what he's saying. Don't ever make fun or put down or negate anything that anybody says. There's some value in it to be learned. First of all, number two, that whenever I'm going to encounter a shaila, a question, always, never respond in haste. Even if it's clear to you, that analyze it and try to approach and sort of attack the question from all sides, from all angles. And that's what he learned. It's the lesson he learned from that story. You don't just answer Isamar. If you would have, paid more attention and thought through it, perhaps you would have. So those are the two lessons that he learned for the rest of his life from that story back in the Russian shul. Okay, so back to our Gemara. Itmar Isamar Hashoyched Es HaBehema. So we have learned, and this relates back to yesterday's discussion, where we had the halacha that if one actually takes a behemah and does the shechita for the sake of avodah zarah, it's considered zivchei meisim. It's considered avodah zarah offering, which becomes forbidden. But that is provided that he had that intention during the shechita for this shechita, meaning he did the shechita for avodah zarah. But let's say hashechet as a behemah, he shechts a behemah, not with any intent to have the shechita be considered an act of avodah zarah, an act of offering, rather lizrek dama la'avodas kacham, with the intention to eventually take the blood of this animal and offer it, sprinkle it to the avodah zarah, or ulahakter chelba la'avodas kacham, or to burn the fast avodah zarah. So the shechita per se is benign. Right? It's a neutral shechita. It's just with the intention of eventually taking the material of this animal, the blood, the fat, and offering it to the avodah zarah. So what would you say happens now? Is the animal at this point kosher or pasul? Asur or mutar? We have machlokes. Rabbi Yechon Amar Pesula. Some have a girsa asura, it's forbidden. It's already considered avodah zarah offering. It's already idol material. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Amar Mutaris, it's fully permitted. Why? Explains the Gemara. You know, there are two ways to look at it. On the one hand, well, he hasn't yet worshipped. The Shechita per se was just a neutral Shechita. On the other hand, look, the Shechita was really a preparatory act for the eventual dam that's being generated through the Shechita and the fats that are being accessed. So perhaps you can deem the Shechita to be considered as sort of the beginning of the process, the start of the worship process, which makes the behemoth asur. Two ways to look at it. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yechon Amar Psula, it invalidates the Shechita, the animal, mechash v'ma avoid la'avoida. If you have a machshava during this avoida, during this step, la'avoida, on another step, so during the Shechita you're thinking about the eventual zrika, that affects the animal. That invalidates the actual Shechita. It's considered an element within the Shechita per se. The process has begun. How do we know this concept? V'alfina, we learn chutz. We learn the halacha regarding outside from inside. Just as inside the Beis HaMikdash. This is how pigul is generated, right? You have the Shechita happening, and during the Shechita you're thinking, you're proclaiming that you intend on being Zerik the Dam tomorrow, eating the flesh tomorrow or next week. It's an identical process. You're not necessarily doing the Shechita in a bad way, but you're already planning during the Shechita to eventually, the Shechita is a preparatory stage for the eventual diversion. And that makes pigul. That's how pigul happens. So just like there, bifnim, it works in this manner. Likewise, chutz, regarding a desire which is outside the Beis HaMikdash, this method will be detrimental to the animal. Rish Lakish Amar Muteres, it's fully fine by Yahweh Dezar. We don't compare it to Pigel, Ein, Machashvin, Mavid Lavoida. The Machshava during this Avoida, for the sake of the other Avoida, doesn't take effect. V'loy Alfinon, V'loy Gamrinon, we do not derive, we do not compare Chutz Mipinim outside from the inside. V'od Tamayu, this very same Achleikis is found in a similar fashion elsewhere. The Itmas, we have learned, Shachta L'Shma, see, we shift to the halacha of Shalei Lishma, which we learned extensively in Maseches Zvachim. So he has an oila, and he's thinking, okay, this is really a shlamim. Shachta Lishma, he did the shechita for the sake of the proper carbon, but Lizrek Dama Shalei Lishma intends on doing the zrika for the sake of a different carbon. And he's thinking that during the shechita. So again, the shechita per se is okay, it's neutral, it's benign. But during the shechita, he's already intending on doing zrika Shalei Lishma. What happens? Same machlokes. Rabbi Yechon Amar Pesula. We treat it like a animal that was on like a carbon shle shema. It's possible. Shema lagashama kshera. It's okay. Why? Same machlokes. Rabbi Yechon Amar Pesula. It already impacts the animal at the shechita. Mechashvin mavid lavoida. The avoida of the machshava regarding the zrika, which took place during the shechita, will impact the carbon already now. We learned this from the Machshavas Pigel, as we explained. This sort of long distance Machshava doesn't really work. We do not learn Machshavas Pigel. We don't compare the two types of experiences. We don't learn Shalei Lishma from Pigel. Now, why do we have to repeat the same Machlegas over and over? So again, Pigel is a given. That Avoid Lavoida does invalidate the animal, the carbon. But regarding Shalei Lishma, we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon says yes, Shalei Lishma says no. Again, regarding Avoid Zara, same machlekes. Rabbi Yechon says yes, takes effect, Shalei Lishma says no. What's the point of repeating it? What's Richa? There's a lesson in each one. Why? The Itmar Baha, had we only discussed the Avoid Zara scenario, I would perhaps suggest, Baha Ka'amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. It's only here that Rish Lakish says, ignore it, disregard it. Mishum dechutz mipnim le'yafina. We do not compare and learn something that transpired outside the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. Avodah Zarah, mipnim from Pigel, which is inside. It's a different system. Le'yafin. Avo pnim mipnim, but regarding Shalei Lishma, which is really inside as well, it's more comparable to Pigel, perhaps. We will equate them. Ema moidile the Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps he would agree to Rabbi Yochanan that you say machashven maved lavoid. On the other hand, v'itmar b'hach, had we only discussed shlo l'shma, perhaps I can speculate, but he kav Rabbi Yochanan, it's only there. By shlo l'shma, which is very similar to pigel, Rabbi Yochanan says it works. Ava b'hach, but regarding avid zara, perhaps it's a totally different track. Different system. Ema moidile l'rishim malakish. Perhaps he would agree to his opponent that ma'avayd la'avayd does not take effect. Tricha. Hence, both discussions to highlight the machlokes in all situations. Okay. So, in conclusion, we have three situations of avayd la'avayd. Pigol, all agree it does take effect. So during the shechita, is thinking I'm doing this rikish, tomorrow it's pigol. In a similar case by Shlag Lishma, Oba Vedazara, Rabbi Yechon says it does take effect, or Shlag says it doesn't. Masiv Rav Sheshes, I have a question, Rav Sheshes, from our Mishnah. Let's just refresh. Our Mishnah is talking about a fellow who took an animal belonging to a guy and did Shechita on it. Tanakama says it's fine. There are no, Vedazara associations at this point. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. He says the owner who's a guy, his thought process can actually affect the carbon because it's his, the animal which is his. In fact, it's presumed that his mindset is avodah zarah, and that's what he had in mind, the carbon is us, the behema is us. Rabbi Yossi says, the behema is fine. In fact, I will prove it with a kal v'chomer. Amar Rabbi Yossi, kal v'chomer advarim. What is the kal v'chomer? It's based on karbonis. Uma b'makim. Look, even in a place, in a situation, meaning by karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, shemachshava peiselis, where the intent does take effect, is critical. Pigol, right? Shlo l'shma, these are critical factors when it comes to a karbon, b'mukdashim by karbonis. So even though machshava is a very strong player, very strong factor by karbonis, nevertheless, it's limited. Only the kayin can impact the carbon with his intention, with his thoughts, with his declarations. Ein hakol hoylech el achar oved. All follows the oved, the one that's doing the actual service, not the owner. Owner has no say in the matter. Okay, so certainly when it comes to regular, ordinary chulin animals, makim she'ein machshava peiselis, where machshava is not a player, b'chulin regarding regular animals, certainly, wouldn't you agree, shelo yehi hakol hoylech el achar oved at all? Follows the sheikhet. Only the sheikhet has say in the matter. The owner is not a player. And therefore, we don't have to reckon with the guy's involvement. End quote. Now, what did Rabbi Yossi mean? That by chulin, machshava is not a factor. What do you mean? A person does shechita avodah zarah. Of course, it impacts the animal. Well, what does he mean? There's no machshava. My ein machshava peiselas bechulin. What do you mean by that? Eliva perhaps he means to lay pasla klal. Machshava never is reckoned with when it comes to chulin. Really? Elo zvicha da avoidas kechav in the mitzvah. We all know that if one shecht fa avoidas zara, it becomes asr. Heichem eshkachasla. How's that to be found? If you're telling me there's no elo pshita mavoid lavoid. Apparently he was referring to a very specific, a procedural variation of machshava. I.e. ma'avoid la'avoid. So certainly if he's thinking during the Shechita, on the Shechita itself, that it's going to be for avodah zarah, of course it's asr. But we're speaking ma'avoid la'avoid. During this step, he's planning the other step. And that's what he's referring to. V'chi kamar, so based on this understanding, let's relearn Rabbi Yossi's statement and see how it fits. V'chi kamar, u'ma b'maki, shemachshava peiselas b'mukdosh. Since when it comes to karbonis, but machshava is a very strong player. In fact, it can take effect even me'avoid la'avoida. You're doing the shechita, okay, but just planning on doing the zrika shlo l'shma or pigel, right? It does take effect. That's going to be a kasha, by the way, in Rish Lakish, who says it doesn't. That's going to be the kasha. So despite the fact that regarding karbonis, the machshava component takes on a very broad scope. it's effective even mavod lavoidim. Nevertheless, ein hakoil hoilach ela achar oivid. Ultimately, it's only the oivid, the one doing the service, the kohen, that can generate this issue. Certainly, when it comes to ordinary animals, which has a very narrow scope, it doesn't have the same breadth regarding the effect of machshava. Mokim she'ein machshava peiselas b'chulin. Certainly, when it comes to chulin u'machshava, doesn't have the same impact. For instance, may avoid la avoida. Sure, if you're doing the shechita to serve the idol with the shechita per se, of course it's avoida zar, of course it's aser. But may avoid la avoida is ineffective. If he has in mind shechita is going to be neutral, but it's going to prepare the dam for avoida zar, no harm was done. That's going to be a kasha on Rabbi Yechina now. So we're going to have a kasha both ways regarding karbanis. Avoid Lavoida does take effect. That's a kasha Rish Lakish, who says not. And here we have the second part of the flip side of the equation, where he's teaching us that when it comes to Avoida Zara, there's no Avoid Lavoida. That's a kasha Rabbi Yechon, who says there is. Okay, in any case, let's just finish this Kavachimer. So certainly when it comes to Chulin, where there's no Avoid Lavoida effect, Ela Bais Avoida, only strictly if the intent applies to this Avoida for this Avoida. So you see, it's a very limited type of equation. Ein adin, wouldn't you agree that it's limited further? That ultimately only the sheichet can have this say in the matter, not the owner. Hence, we don't reckon with the goy, the owner. Okay, that was his point. What relates to us is, we have a double-pronged question now, in both directions. On the one hand, pnim, his allusion to the karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, where avoid lavoida does take effect, is going to be a kashi Rav Shimon Malachish, who says it doesn't. On the other hand, chutz, his reference to avoid zara, which is outside the Beis HaMikdash, where he says avoid lavoida is not a factor, is going to be a kashi Rabbi Yechon, who says it is. So it's a double pronged question. Answers the Gemara Bishleim Pnim Rav Shimon Malachish LeKashi. The first question could be answered at this point. When Rav Shimon Malachish made his statement, he wasn't aware of this Mishnah. Hamikame Deshama. That was before he learned it from his Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon Rabbi. But ultimately, he would agree. Labasar Deshama, Rabbi Yechon. After he heard it from Rabbi Yechon, of course, he would agree that. And in terms of karbanos, yep, me'avoid la'avoida is detrimental. So that's in terms of that question. We all know that Rabbi Yechon was Rish Lakish's Talmud, right? It was Rish Lakish's Rebbe. There's a whole story, right, that Rish Lakish initially was a head robber, leader of the robbers, and Rabbi Yechon convinced him to come to Tshuva and to come back and to come join the Beis Medrash, and he married Rabbi Yechon's sister, right? And he taught him he was his rabbi. Okay, Ella chutz kashil Rabbi Yechon. What about the second part of the question? The Mishnah seems to indicate that regarding Avodah Zarah, you don't reckon with Avodah Lavodah. That's a kasha to Rabbi Yechon, who says we do. Who, Maisivla? The same who presented this question, Rav Sheshes, who mepharically provided an answer as well. To solve this question, it says ba'arba avoidas. Let's re-understand Rabbi Yossi's statement. He was not referring to avoid lavoida. All he meant to say was that by avoid zara, the intent, the machshava, the kavana to serve the idol, to avoid zara, is limited. And only is considered, it's only reckoned with if it transpired during two very specific steps in the process, Shechita or Zrika. Rashi brings an Amud Beis. It's based on a pasuk where it says Zaveach Lelehim Yachram. So Zvicha Tavei Dezara is reckoned with, and also Balachzich Neske Midam, pouring of the blood. So these sort of two primary elements in the process. if diverted for avodah zarah purposes, are detrimental, considered hakrova, and considered to be detrimental to the animal, make it asr. But for instance, suppose he's thinking of a desaro during the kabbalah, receiving of the blood, during the halacha, walking the blood to the mizbeach. That type of activity doesn't relate to a desaro, and therefore, it's disregarded. And that's what Rabbi meant. In contrast to karbonis, where all four steps are critical, are essential to the process, and machshava present during any one of those steps are reckoned with. By the Zohar, it's limited to two steps. So it's, to begin with, a weaker, more limited scope type of arrangement. Machi kamar, he meant like this. Uma b'makim, certainly by a karbon, in the Beit HaMikdash, shemachshava poiselas b'mukdosh, where machshava does impact the karbon to the full extent, by karbonis ba'arba avoidas, during any one of those four steps. So despite its breadth, nevertheless, it's only the Oyvid, the Kohen, who's actually doing it, who can actually invalidate the carbon through his machshava. We turn to Amidbeis. Certainly when it comes to an ordinary animal, which is being diverted to avodah zarah, where, to begin with, it's a very limited type of equation. Malkum she'ein machshava pesalas b'chulin, by chulin with machshava, will not be impactful. Ela b'shtei avodas, only by those two avodas, shechita and zrika, ein adin, would you agree that it's limited further, only the sheikhet itself who's doing the actual shechita has a say in the matter, not the owner. So we resolve this this issue. In any case, we go back to smachlekes regarding avoid l'avoida. So by pigel, yes, it's impactful. By shalishma, and by dezara, we have machlekes. Reichen says yes, Rish Lakish says no. Here comes a riot to Rabbi Yechanan that avoid l'avoida is a factor by avoid dezara as well. Tani kavaseid Rabbi Yechanan. Hashoyches abehem b'lizor k'dem alavitz k'chavim. Oh, exactly our case. So the shechita per se was not being done as a form of service, but it was lizroik dama alavitz k'chavim. During the shechita, he's planning, he's hoping, he's planning, he's preparing to do the zrika tavaydez zara. Or lahakter chelba, to burn the fat of this animal, lavaydez k'chavim. Haray, this is our very case, which was subject to machlekes. What does the Brisa say? It concludes, Hare Elizav Chemesim. It's like dead, right? It's like a mace, right? And it's Asr Bahano. Okay, that's the right to Rabbi Yechanan, that Avoid Lavoida makes it Asr. Okay, that ends that point. But we'll continue with the Brisa, which we'll discuss another scenario, and take us down to the bottom of the page. Shachta v'acharka chishavaleh. Let's say, during the Shechita, there was no expression of intent. It was done in a neutral manner, benignly. Right after the Shechita, he says, you know, actually, I want to use the dam for avodah zarah, or do the fats for avodah zarah. On the one hand, you can say, look, the Shechita has been spared. There was no machshava during the Shechita. It's too late. On the other hand, you can say, well, now he has indicated what his intent was to begin with. So perhaps retroactively, we should invalidate the Shechita, in line with the conclusion we had a minute ago that the shechita is being done for the sake of zrika avodah zarah, makes it asr. So what about this case? Shachta v'achak achishev oleh zeh yamaisa. So this isn't just merely academics. There was an actual story in the town of Bekisri, which I think is Caesarea, the seashore up in the seashore. V'loy amru b'lo yisro lehetem. So this very story happened. A fellow, a yid, after he shecht, he says, you know, actually, I'm using the blood from avodah zarah. They brought the shayla to the chachamim, and they left it in limbo. They did not rule, they did not conclude either way. They didn't forbid it, nor did they permit it. Why? What's the, all the factors at play? I'll tell you. They didn't want to forbid it, mishum kvayt and rabbanon, because out of respect to the shitas rabbanon. Now, which Rabbanon are we talking about? So Rashi explains, this relates back to our Mishnah on the Ches HaMateis. Rabbanon say the guy is not presumed to have Avodah Zarah, plans in mind. Rabbi Elazar says it is. The Stam Machsheves, right? The presumed mindset of a guy is for Avodah Zarah. So let's fast forward to this case. It was a Yid. A Yid has a Cheskes Kashrus. He's presumed to be on the right track, the right frame of mind, committed to the Torah way of life, unless we know otherwise, and then he turns into a mumar, right? He's relabeled as a renegade. Until that point happens, we don't have to assume, we don't have to suspect anything other than just a good Jew, right? So after the Shechita, he wakes up and says, I want to do the Zrik of Avodah Zarah. Look, so according to Rabbi Lezer, you know, since, just like by the guy, we say, look, assumptions, presumptions matter. And if the guy is presumed to be addicted to Avodah Zarah, we assume that's his plan all along, even though he hadn't really expressed it. Likewise, Rabbi Lezer in this case would say, look, unfortunately, if this Yid now has shown his true, has now, you know, indicated that he's on the Avodah Zarah track, so although he stated it only right after the Shechita, but it's an indication of what he had in mind to begin with. That would be the Rabbanah's Shechita, to make it us. The Rabbanah disagree. We don't make assumptions, and therefore they would make it mutter. I mean, going forward, he's a mummer, but the Shechita was still done okay. It was pre-mummer status. Okay, so these are the factors that play a counter of Chista. On the one hand, Lo Amru Ba Isur, they did not forbid it, Mishum Kvaidin the Rabbanah, out of respect to the Rabbanah and their opinion, that, you know, it's not assumed unless you know. On the other hand, Lo Yehetah, they did not want to permit it, Mishum Kvaidin the Rabbanah, out of respect to Rabbanah, who does make assumptions. And in this case, would make it Asur. Hold it, Mimai, who says that things are connected? Who says he can link the two stories? Mimai Dilma, perhaps Ad Khan, like Am Rabban Hossam, it's only over there by the Goy, Rabban say, we don't make assumptions. Elo de Leishamano, the Choshev, we never heard that he actually had this in mind. He didn't express it. So we don't just make assumptions. Aval Hochad Leishamano, the Choshev, but over here, ultimately, a second later, he did express it. Hoychiach Soifat Chilosoi, the end is an indication as to what was there to begin with. And perhaps even the Rabbanan would forbid this animal. We assume the Shechita was done with this in mind. Inami, alternatively, you can say, on the other side, Ad Kan Leikam Rabbi Lezer Hasam, it's perhaps only by the guy that Rabbi Lezer makes assumptions. Ella Gabi Evid Kechav, you know why? A guy is a guy. The Stam Machsheves Evid Kechav, we assume that the assumed mindset of a guy is connected to Avod Zarah, Avod Kechav, Avol Yisrael, but by Yid, as long as he's good, that's his true essence. He veers off, okay, too bad, going forward, but it's not retroactive. It doesn't take away from his good past. We don't say that what happens later is indication of all along. So basically, we can't really link the two stories, and these perhaps are not really the factors that were at play in the case tree. So what were the factors? Again, we're speaking that he did the Shechita without any machshava, and right after the Shechita, he expresses his intent to use the blood of Avodah Zarah. Shall we say it's okay because the Shechita was done neutrally? Or shall we say it's been revealed that this was there all along? That was his machshava to begin with. Elam Rav Sheisvi. The reason why they didn't permit it, Mishum Kvayde Rav Shimon Gamliel, because of a different Shechita. Hi, which Rav Shimon Gamliel? Elam, is Rav Shimon Gamliel the Gittin? We find Maseches Gittin. Where likewise we find the concept of Echiach HaSoifa Tchilosa, that the indicator towards the end of the story reveals what was there all along. This not as we find in the Mishnah. Habari, a fellow who is perfectly healthy, no reason to think that he's divorcing. Sh'amar, he calls out to a couple of people, he says, you know what, kiss will get ishti, draft a divorce document for my wife, but he fails to instruct them to deliver it. He didn't say the word tenu, just one word difference. He said right, but without saying tenu. Well, it's a little sachibo. We assume it's just a game, he's threatening, it's not legitimate. We have no authority to deliver it for him, unless he instructs us to. Umaisa, in fact, it was a story, Bari, a fellow who was healthy, Sha'amar, who asked that they write a get for his wife. Kis forget lishti. Va'alu l'gag, he went up to the rooftop, v'nav al-meis, and he dropped and he died. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it so happens, explains Rashi, that for some reason they already delivered the get to the Isha. Okay? So he merely asked them to write, and they misunderstood. They wrote it up and gave it to her. And then he dropped off the roof and he died. So what's the status? Is it a valid get or not? Does she have to, if they have no children, right? If there's a get, there's no yibum. There's another question, was she divorced and can she marry a Kayan, right? She can't marry a Kayan if she's divorced. If she's merely a widow, she could, you know. So we have to figure this out. Omar Shimon Gamliel, it depends under what circumstances he dropped off the roof. Imi Atzmanafal Fiyah, self-initiated that fall. How is it get? apparently that was his intention to begin with, that was his plan, and he wanted to spear her of this status, so he wanted to give her the get to spear her of, you know, of Yibum. And although he merely said kissu without giving that extra, you know, instruction to give, that's what he meant. He was just in a haphazard situation. He was hasty, and he didn't have the focus, so he missed that word. But that's what he meant to begin with. That was his presumed mindset. Why? Because heichiach soifay at chilosay. This provides an indication retroactively of what he had in mind to begin with. That's Rav Shimon Leil Shit. But if the wind blew him off, it was an accident, it's not a get. Now, we better give a little explanation, but you know, in the simple reading of the Mishnah, it seems to be self-contradictory. Because here we say that unless he actually explicitly tells them to deliver it, it's not going to be valid. And then we have a story. And we differentiate between this circumstance and that circumstance. Rabbi Vinaban, the obvious question that was asked on the Mishnah was, Masa Lister? You mean a person will cite a story to contradict himself? The story seems to be inconsistent with the halacha in the Mishnah. That unless he instructs, clearly, explicitly tells him to do this, it's not going to work. Chesuri Mechzer Vachitani. We have to learn the Mishnah as though it's missing some words, and that's how it's meant to be read. In a standard, typical situation, Kisvu doesn't mean deliver. But, v'chiton, im hechiach soifat chilos er zeket. But if it turns out that later on, we have a revelation which reflects on the whole story and leads us to the conclusion that it really wanted to get to be delivered, then in fact it is. Then it works. U'masa nami. And for that we support with a story. The bari shamar kisvu get le'ishti, right? The bari who instructed to write without instructing them to deliver the get, while Lagag, he ascended to the rooftop, he dropped and died. Omar, we have to analyze what happened. Is it an indication or not? If he self-initiated that fall, then it's a get, because we assume that's what he had in mind to begin with. He really wanted the get to be delivered, despite omitting the word tenu. But if he was just thrown off by accident, it's not a get. Okay, in any case, what pertains to us is that we see that according to this opinion, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the later, you know, indicator provides clarity retroactively and is reflective on the whole story. Likewise, over here by the Shechita, although the Machshava only came right after the Shechita, it reflects on the whole Shechita and is considered a Shechita Lava Dezara. Well, so the Gemara, who says you can compare the two stories with Dilma, Shani Hassan, perhaps in the case of the get, it's different. I'm coming kissful. Ultimately, he did say kissful. He instructed part way. He failed to say tnu, no. So we combine that with the factor, with the fact that he self-initiated his fall. We put two and two together. And although literally he just said kissful, but figuratively he really meant divorce her on my behalf. As opposed to the fellow who did Shechita quietly, without any indication whatsoever. Maybe he only woke up after the Shechita and decided to, you know, switch tracks. Who says the Shechita itself was done with animal? You can't compare the two stories. Elamar Avina. Let me explain to you what the factor at play is. The reason why the Chachamim did not permit the Shechita, Mishim Kvoyo, the Rishim Gamliel, the Hach, on account of a different Rishim Gamliel, who likewise applies this concept of a chiyach soivat chilas, but in a manner, in a circumstance which is more comparable to our case and allows for a fair connection. The sanya. HaKosev nechasa l'achir. Reuben wrote away all his possessions to Shimon. V'hoyu ben avadim. Amongst his possessions, we have slaves. Slaves can be good, but they could be big responsibility to look after slaves. But Amar Allah, you know what his recipient says, I'm not interested, I'm not interested in the slaves. Imoyu Rabbi Sheni Kohen, so if Shimon, the new master, was a Kohen, too late. Harei Elo Echlem Truma, it considers his possessions, it can share his Truma, just like every Eved shares his owner's Truma. So despite Shimon's protests, he becomes the new owner. which is startling. We'll see in a minute why. Here comes the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Aymer, he says, no. Kimish Amar Halah. Once the recipient, the intended recipient, says, I'm not interested. I have no interest in these. Kvar Zoch ben Yarshin, the inheritors of Reuben, acquire these slaves, and Shimon is not the owner. Vavinuban, the obvious question was asked. The Tanakam, according to the first sheet, how do you explain this? You force Shimon to receive, to assume ownership on something he doesn't want. You can't force somebody to take a gift against his will. I feel Amir Sabech is standing and yelling. Amar Rabba, Bitem Rabbi Yechen, Rabba and some say Yechen explained like this. We're not speaking about a straightforward situation, but a situation that gives to analysis. And the question is how to interpret it. Look, Betzavech Mikara, if he's yelling from the first moment, I don't want, the Kuliyam Malay plea, all agree that Loi Kana, he's not going to acquire the slaves. There's no question. On the other hand, B'Shoyseik, Ubasev Tzavach. If initially, when he heard about the gift, he was silent, which sounds like he was okay with it, then he started yelling, I don't want. Likewise, in this case, we all agree the kana. Of course, it's too late, it's his. Key plea, the question is, what happened was, Reuben was trying to give this stuff to Levi, and Shimon was standing there as well, and he took the shtar, the document, and gave it to Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Levi, and they're all standing together. And Levi initially, did not sound off. A minute later, he starts yelling. He doesn't want it. The question is how to interpret his reaction. Tanakama says, look, you were silent. Apparently you consented to the gift. Tanakama says, since you were silent in the beginning of this ceremony, kaninu. So he acquired the possessions, including the slaves. Now that he started protesting, he had the kahadabe, just having a change of heart. Changing his mind. It's not worth it, right? Too late, it's yours. Rav Shimon, little Savar, he says no. The end reveals on the beginning, right? Savar echiach soivat chilasa. The protest that happened later is a reflection on the whole process. I never wanted them to begin with. So why did he start yelling only later? Why didn't he yell initially? Savar, he figured there's no point. He can't receive the document on my behalf. Savar kiliyase liyade. Since the document hasn't really arrived into his hands personally, it was just the other fellow picking it up for him. Am I answer? Why should I yell? So, in his mind, it wasn't a done deal yet. And this is in line with the Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita, that Hechiach Sefer Atchilasei. That what happens later is an indicator, a reflection on the whole process. Likewise by us. We're only after the Shechita decided, I'm going to do this for Avodah Zarah. We don't say, well, it was there all along. Rather, we say the shechita was okay and it's kosher, and that's why they did not want to forbid this animal. Okay, one more piece, getting back to the Mishnah, where a Yiddish Sheichet slaughtered the animal on behalf of the guy, the owner of the guy. Rav Elazar says, the owner is a factor at play. Furthermore, we assume the guy's mindset is on the Avodah Zarah track. The animal is us. Rabbi says, no way. Only the one actually doing the act, the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Sheichet and the Shlachtos, only he has a say in the matter, not the owner. How do we paskin? I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Halacha. The halacha adopts Rabbi Yisi's sheet, Rabbi Yisi. The owner is not a player. In fact, there was a story, Hanotai, these Arabs, the Oslo Tzakuni, came to this town, Tzakuni, Yoiv Dichri, they took their rams, and they handed it to the Jewish slaughterers, Tabachi Yisrael. Amrlu, and they said, look, let's make a deal. Amrlu, Dama, the blood of these animals, but tarb and the fat, Lidan, come back to us for Avodah Zarah purposes, and you keep the rest. Good deal. Mashcha, the hide, the bisra, and the flesh, Lidchu, you keep it. Shechted Kasher, keep everything except for the blood and the fat, which we need for the idol worship. No, Shalcha Rav Tuvi Barav, Masna Kamen Kamen Rav Yosef. So Rav Tuvi sent this question to Rav Yosef. What do you say about the situation? I mean, this is the classic Mishnah case, right? Goyish owner, Jewish Sheikhet. Shalach Leisi responded, it's perfectly fine. Hachi, Amar, Vida, Mashmuel, we know the Halachot Rav Yosef. So despite the fact that the owner clearly expressed his intention, in this case it was clearly expressed, I'm going to use it for Avodah Zarah, does not impact the whole animal. Because the Shechita was done properly. Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Avya, he asked Rav Ashi, Let's shift tracks for a sec. Let's go to Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Rabbi Lezer, who holds that, yeah, the owner does impact the animal. The owner is a guy, the animal is deemed to be us. Rabbi Lezer, Yoiv Leizuza, suppose it wasn't really fully owned by the guy. A Geisha customer approaches a Yiddish butcher, and he pays ahead, he pays into the animal. Yoiv Leizuza, gave him a dollar, right? Give him a zuz. L'tabach ishota, the Yiddish tabach. For a part of the animal that's going to shech tomorrow, okay? So he's purchasing a part of the animal. He's reserving, he's ordering a part of the animal. My, what's the aloch? He doesn't own the full animal, but part of it, he does. And in the Mishnah, we learn that even the partial owner is an issue. Amarlis, he says, look, it really depends on the nature of the customer. Can he cancel the deal on him or not? Amarlis, chazinan, we take a close look, we assess. Inish almahu, if the geisha customer is a strong-armed fellow, intimidating, you know, mafioso, delay matzi matchile, that the butcher can't really cancel on him. No way. So now, he's in. He bought into the animal, he's in. He's a partial owner, usher, and the animal is considered usher due to the fact that the shechita is being done on a partially, you know, goyish-owned animal. And presumed to be Favay Dazar. But otherwise, suppose the butcher can just, you know, cancel on him. So in this case, it does not take effect. In this case, his order will not affect the animal. Amrle, the butcher, the yid, can tell the guy, Rei Sheikh, your head, Vahar, and the mountain. Go bang your head in the mountain. Bang your head in the wall. Meaning to say like this, Rashi explains. Although technically, halachically, the goy has already purchased part of the animal. In fact, when it comes to a goy, ma'ois ha'koinois, simply payment. By a yid, you need payment and, you know, meshicha, physical. By a goy, payment is deemed a proper acquisition process. He's considered a partial owner. Nevertheless, the Yisrael can tell the customer, you know, at least in his mind, theoretically, he can tell him, he says, look, I allowed you into the animal to benefit me, to give me business. I did not allow you here to ruin it for me. So in terms of that, you're not part of my equation. And Rahman adds, and based on that, even the guy is not fully really committed. He doesn't view it as really his animal to the extent that he'll have in mind, Favay Dazara, and, you know, in a serious manner, because it's sort of pending. It could very well be that the yid will just cancel on him. So it's not a full commitment either way, in which case we don't have to reckon with his with the guy factor in this case, and the animal's perfectly okay, even according to Rabbi Lezer. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. So what about one is sheichet an animal favay dezara becomes asr? What if the shechita was not favay dezara, but he's saying to himself, I'm going to do the shechita not favay dezara, but I will do the Zrik of Avodah Zarah, or the Haktorah for the Avodah Zarah. So the Shechita, in a way, is preparing for that. And that applies to Shalom Lishma by Karban as well, applies to Pigla as well. So by Pigla, we all know, yep, Machashim Avodah Avodah, it becomes Pigla. By Shalom Lishma, by Avodah Zarah, we have Machlek, Rabbi Yechon says, yep, Rosh Lager says, no. We had a ride from Abraisa to Rabbi Yechon. We discussed the story of Achiyach Soif El Tchilasoi, story in Kesri, where there was no Machshava doing the Shechita, only right after. Question is, do we invalidate the Shechita retroactively? Do we say no? It was sort of left in limbo. Ultimately, we pass on Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah that the Goyisha owner will not impact the animal if it's shechted by Yid. An interesting twist in Rabbi Lezer, who does reckon with the owner, that's only when the owner is on the scene, but if he can be negated, and we just ignore him, and the animal's still kosher. Okay, all the best to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.